The GeoTrek podcast provides extensive education to help people get out ahead of natural disasters so they can stay out of harm's way. But what if your home or business finds itself in the middle of a raging flood? What are things you can do to take action to reduce the loss of flood damage on your home or business? Well, on this episode of the GeoTrek podcast, Tom Little, president and CEO of SmartVent Products LLC and floodproofing.com, met with us to share about exciting innovations that he and his team are developing that you can install on your home or business to reduce the loss of floods. Hey everyone, I'm Hurricane Hal, host of the GeoTrek podcast. On the GeoTrek podcast, we explore the world to bring you stories about extreme weather and natural disasters not covered by the mainstream media. Please like, subscribe, and follow our content so we can continue to grow the channel. Your support of our work helps ensure many more episodes of the GeoTrek podcast in the future. A more formal introduction of Tom Little. He's the president and CEO of SmartVent Products LLC, where he leads a team of more than 65 professionals dedicated to advancing flood mitigation and creating more disaster-resilient communities. Since 2004, Tom has specialized in both wet and dry floodproofing strategies, focusing on protecting structures from flood damage while also reducing insurance costs for property owners. He's a certified floodplain manager and licensed insurance broker. In addition to his leadership role, Tom is a passionate educator and industry advocate. He regularly teaches classes on flood mitigation, building code compliance, and resilient design. Tom played a key role in expanding the flood mitigation landscape through Smart Product Innovations, an umbrella company that includes Freedom Flood Vent, RRPG, and floodproofing.com, created to address the full spectrum of flood protection needs. A lifelong New Jersey native, Tom lives in South Harrison with his wife and two daughters. Outside of work, he enjoys coaching softball, camping, and spending time with his family at the Jersey Shore. Tom, thank you so much for taking time to come on the GeoTrek podcast.
Thanks for having me, Hurricane Hal. It's a pleasure to be on.
Tom, you're the president and CEO of floodproofing.com. So we need to hear about your personal path. Like, how did you professionally get into floodproofing?
Wow. Awesome way to start. So I've been in the flood mitigation space and floodplain management, for that matter, the industry itself, for 21 years. And it's definitely flown by. But I got my start in the flood protection space really fresh out of going to school at night, working full time during the day, and had an opportunity through a referral of a startup company that was developing a line of engineered flood vents. And that really was my start back in, like I said, 2004. And I found myself in a startup business, creating a engineered flood vent that would be utilized in a residential application, elevate up, and then we allow the water to travel beneath that. Think of a crawl space or a garage, and it's a form of wet flood proofing. So the flood vents let the water in and out. And so I became, very passionate about, you know, what our mission was: protecting homes, protecting families from being displaced during a flood. And so at that point, we had, you know, three employees. And then we just started growing the business and found myself with a business partner. His name's Mike Graham. Actually, I think you had the ability to meet Mike. And we just started solving problems. You know, we'd pick up the phone and somebody would say, well, I had this problem dealing with floodplain maps or flood insurance or dry flood proofing. And we just started to solve those issues and problems because we're super passionate about it. And you blink and, you know, today we have, you know, close to 70 people that are dedicated to that mission on protecting homes and commercial buildings and critical facilities with a whole multitude of products and various services and just about any solution that you might need in the flood world.
Yeah. So Tom, we hear about flooding in the news, it seems like every single week. So explain to us the concept of flood proofing. So let's say your building does have water, you know, in your building, in your neighborhood. What can flood proofing do to help you mitigate this or, you know, make your way through this flood event?
Right. So we are, like, when you look at our mission, Our whole mission is, we're not going to stop floodwaters from happening, right? They're going to come. But our whole mission is to protect the buildings, whether that be residential or commercial. And we work on new construction, but then also we're able to retrofit existing infrastructure, right? Existing, you know, homes and buildings. And so there's two different methods to doing that, Hal. So one, you have what's called wet flood proofing. And so wet flood proofing is allowing flood water to come in and out. We're going to use flood resistant materials. Things are going to get wet, but we're going to have, from a residential standpoint, let's use that as an example. You're going to elevate your first living floor above whatever the design flood elevation is. You're going to look at your BFE, your base flood elevation, plus any freeboard, and you'll go up higher, right? And your first living area will be above that mark. Below that, we're going to allow the water to travel in and out. And so we're going to, and you can't have living space below there, right? And so we're going to have that for storage and parking and building access, but we're going to have engineered flood vents. Our product that started us off in the flood protection space is called Smart Vent, and it's a ICC ES, which stands for the International Code Council Evaluation Service. It's certified, performance tested. And what that does is, there's actually a, it's activated when floodwaters rise around the foundation. You want to relieve that pressure. That pressure can cause the foundation to have structural damage and, in worst case scenarios, collapse, right? And so the flood vent, simple to design it, pivots open, allows water and debris to flow through and equalize pressure. So that's kind of the wet flood proofing aspect. We're going to use engineered flood vents, flood resistant materials, not use the space for any living area. And it's also utilized in a lot of like agricultural style applications, right? Storage type facilities, airplane hangars, you know, in our different ports and stuff for those big giant metal buildings, they'll use these wet flood proofing techniques. On the flip side, where we're relieving pressure with wet flood proofing, the opposite is resisting. And that's what we do with dry flood proofing. So the other form of flood proofing is dry flood proofing. And what we're doing with that, Hal, is we're preventing water from getting into the building. And that could be all kinds, like we're talking hospitality type structures, retail, commercial buildings, restaurants, your small little coffee shop to a giant hospital, right? These critical facilities. And there's a couple different ways you do that. There's deployable systems, which takes human interaction, right? You got to grab something out of storage and deploy it, like a flood log system. Or you would have a passive solution, like potentially like floodproof windows or floodproof glazing. And so, I mean, we have a couple pictures, I think, examples that we could pull up. And
yeah, we'll pull those up in a second. So Tom, just to reiterate and clarify, so these passive solutions, like maybe a floodproofed window, the client wouldn't really do anything the day before the flood, but some of these other, it sounds like some of these other dry floodproofing solutions, like a mobile barrier, it may involve the resident or the client actually going out there and deploying it right before the floodwaters hit.
Right, exactly. And so the passive solutions are always something that our team strongly recommends to our customers, right? Because what you're going to be able to do is once it's installed, I hate to say it's a set it and forget it type of that, you know, application, but really nothing has to happen from a human intervention standpoint. So, and that's especially critical with flash flood situations, right? Where you don't have maybe an adequate time to pull something out of storage and deploy it. When you have a passive solution, it's just boom, it's going to automatically do its job. Where the deployable, you know, there are, you know, one of the things that we're rolling out is like an early warning system. So when you're able to get that warning that tells you, hey, you might have a foot or 2 foot of water up against your building starting days in advance. Well, now you can make sure your crew's there. You grab your flood log system, get that in place. And now you can deploy the, you know, protection. We call those deployable systems.
Yeah. Tom, this is interesting. Just a few days before we recorded this, we saw catastrophic floods in Central Texas that hit at night over 4th of July weekend. And so with little notice. So if a team had to get out there and deploy something, it would have been very difficult, right? How are you going to do that at 3 a.m. on a holiday weekend?
Exactly.
It sounds like you're saying with some of these passive solutions, the protection's already there. You don't have to go out at 3 a.m. on a Saturday morning and call your team in the middle of the night kind of thing.
Yeah, no. And definitely, you know, thoughts, prayers go out to all the poor folks. And that was just a tragic event in Central Texas. And, And so to your point, yeah, I mean, they didn't have warning. You can't evacuate, right? You don't have time to deploy a system. And we see that across the country. I mean, every 2 to 3 days, especially in like an urban style area, they're dealing with pluvial flooding. You know, rainfall events, frequency of these events are more intense than they've ever been. And so, you know, our stormwater system can't keep up with that, you know, from a demand, from a capacity standpoint. And boom, you get flash flooding like that. And so with the passive technology, we're seeing that, you know, like with floodproof glazing. I mean, it is literally flood protection that you can see through, right? It's glass, but that will hold back 10 foot of water and take a 1,000-pound log impact, smashing up against the glass, and it's not going to break. You're not going to, that water's not going to seep through. I mean, and there's engineering and performance testing all behind that. But in those type of events, passive is an ideal solution. Yeah. One other, you know, I'm hitting on floodproof glazing, but, it, you know, in our industry, there are products out there that will actually, and we sell them, you know, that will lift up with flood water. So it's a rising, a self-rising gate. Right. A flood.
Wow.
And so you'll see them at, like, say, a parking garage that's underneath the building. So you drive down and under. Well, that's, you know, obviously a vulnerable point for floodwater. So we'll have it's a horizontal floating gate that rises up and then locks in place, and it uses the power of the water, floats the actual protection barrier in place, and then seals up against, you know, a protection wall. You know,
that's amazing. And again, an automatic solution that someone doesn't have to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
100%. 100%. It's just going to do its job.
Yeah. Tom, we're excited to look through these photos. And just for our listeners as well, we have an audio and a video podcast on YouTube. If you haven't checked out the YouTube podcast, definitely check it out. We'll be descriptive with these photos we're seeing for those of you that are just listening to the audio podcast. But your colleagues had sent in some really cool pictures. We're excited to see really what this floodproofing looks like. So what are we looking at here in this image?
All right. So this one right here, this is actually an example of a critical facility. This is in New York City. It's a very prominent, you know, school within the city. And what you're seeing here is this is actually a wall of glass or a glass curtain wall, we could say. Right. And so what you're seeing here is this is the actual flood protection. There's nothing that has to be deployed over this, curtain wall, this glass curtain wall right here. The glass itself is structurally designed to hold back, you know, 8 foot of flood water pressure, plus take a debris impact. And it's a structurally laminated glass, right? And so it's either tempered or heat strength, depending on the application. But what you're going to have is a structural inner layer. Think of a sandwich, right? And or like your car windshield, when a pebble hits it, it just doesn't shatter in front of you, right? It kind of holds together. So we use the same kind of engineering and elements to create a system and a wall, essentially a glass wall that can hold back the weight of water and then take a debris impact. And nothing has to be deployed. This is passive. So when we talk about a flash flood situation, nobody has to, you know, run out there and deploy something. This is just going to work. It's in place. And
Tom,
it's ready.
Tom, I would walk past that building and say, what a beautiful building with this glass wall. I would not even know that that's flood protection there.
100%. 100%. And look, from an aesthetic standpoint, we work very closely with the architectural community, design community. You know, from an aesthetic standpoint, we know it's important, you know, and our engineering brain takes over where we're like, well, look, we're on a mission to hold back water and keep it out. So from an aesthetic standpoint too, it's, you know, you won't even notice it. Now the picture we just pulled up here, this is an example of a deployable system. So these are, mega flood logs. It's our brand of product called Flood Panel. And these are actually, you know, manufactured in the United States. That's another key thing about what we do from a business standpoint. When we're talking SmartVent, our flood panel, you know, flood log systems and other deployable systems, we're proudly made in the United States. This is made out of aluminum. And so what you're seeing here is these are flood logs. Each are 1 foot tall, right? Hence the term, you know, mega, because they're the biggest ones on the market, right, as far as height. And so you can kind of count and go, oh, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 foot of flood protection that you're seeing right here. And in between each log is a gasket. And so, you know, kind of the deployment drill, although this is a active solution where people have to come out and deploy this, it can be rapidly deployed. So the anchor points are installed by our installation team. And so they're in the building itself. And then where you see those mid-span posts, there's actual anchor points there. So you're removing some caps, you put your post in place, and then what you're doing is you tighten that all up, and then you slide the logs in the channels, and then there's compression bolts on the top, and then laterally, you have compression bolts, and we're just squeezing the gasket kind of tight. And that seal is what creates the flood protection wall that you have there, but it's easy to store. Here's another example. This is a building with apartments on top, and then the lower level, we're protecting retail space. And then there's egress access points for the residential portion, but the lower level that you're seeing with the mega flood logs here is all retail space. So it can be by code dry flood proof, but same concept. I mean, we can go around a corner, and
so Tom, could the client actually go out there and drop those different logs into between the mid span posts?
Yeah, this is done typically by the facility manager, and whoever owns the building. They'll have, and that's part of like the emergency management plan. That's always a part of the package when you're dry flood proofing with a deployable system, an active solution. You're going to have it documented out like, okay, to be able to deploy this system, it's going to, take us, 1.5 full days with 4 people being on site. And that's something that our team, our flood design team, actually helps to, how many people are you going to have? Where's your storage? You want to have that storage right there at the point of use, right? Like storage room. And we heard a lot of horror stories from like Sandy, properties that were protected, say in New York City. Well, guess what? They were storing their flood protection system in New Jersey. Well, that's not doing anybody any good when you got to have it trucked into the busiest city in the world, right? And so
some of this is not only designing these, but then helping the team think through how many people will you have to deploy this, where are you going to store it, that kind of thing. Just the logistics of how quickly could you get this up, basically.
That's right. That's all part of the planning and the design consideration. And so with new construction, getting ahead of it with working with the designers and the architects, we can help guide them on here's your options. And it might be a hybrid. How we might have actually passive solutions in one area, like floodproof, windows or glazing, or, the gate that pops up, like I suggested. And then in another area, you might have some deployable systems. And then you'll also see a hybrid of dry floodproofing and then wet floodproofing, maybe flood vents in another space. But during the initial design phase, it's very simple to get it all on the table and see what works for that site condition, the potential flooding source, and all those factors. From a retrofit standpoint, if it's an existing building, we got a couple other planning elements that we have to work through. Like one, is the wall engineered structurally to be able to withstand potentially 5 feet of water? Because we'll make our panels and our gates and our products strong enough to hold back the weight of water and debris impact. But if we're attaching to a wall that's not structurally capable of withstanding that, it doesn't matter how great the product is, right? We got to make sure the shell of the building can handle that. So all of those elements go into the design prep.
Tom, we know when we get into flood zones, we see different types of flooding. We see storm surge coming with saltwater flooding from the ocean. We could see ponding and urban flooding where we basically have water rising like a bathtub. And then we could see riverine flooding with high velocity and currents. I mean, how do we account for those when you think of a potential solution for a client?
So you hit the nail on the head, right? Because each site, I liken it to like a puzzle, right? Each one's its own puzzle. And it's dealing with, is it coastal surge? Are we dealing with pluvial flooding, flash flooding, directional flow, riverine, all of these different elements. And then it's this site. And then we look at frequency, historical, data, like does it flood often? Then you have your local standards, your regulations. Does a municipality, have a 2, 3, 4 foot of freeboard requirement? We always encourage go as high as you possibly can, right? We know Mother Nature doesn't listen to floodplain maps at all, right? And so those are all the elements that we analyze for the site condition. And then we have, it's kind of like an insurance broker, right? Where it's not a one size fits all. So we're able to go on our catalog of products and then determine what are the best solutions that we can recommend for this particular site. And it might be, you know, we can do watertight doors on one end, and then we're going to wet flood proof this area because that's a better, you know, approach due to whatever the factors might be. But it's all site specific.
Yeah, Tom, what really impresses me about your approach, you're very multidimensional. You have all these different products that have different features, but then it sounds like you work really closely with your client to give them a site-specific solution. You're not just cookie cutter everything and say, hey, everyone should try this product. It sounds like you're really taking into account the location, the type of construction, and the type of flooding as well.
We are. It's really a custom approach for the client.
Yeah. You know? Tom, I am excited. We're going to take our one of our favorite sections of the podcast is called Weathered Wisdom. After that, we're going to talk a little bit about the types of clients that you work with. I know you're working all over the country. I think that's going to be really exciting. But first, let's go into this segment called Weathered Wisdom. So we asked every guest on the GeoTrek podcast, when you think back, what are one or two memories of an extreme weather event that will stick with you forever? It could be something professionally, it could be something personally, but something Mother Nature did that you said, wow, like I never knew that was even possible. And these are memories that'll stick with you your whole life. What is your weathered wisdom? What are these memories you have?
Great question. I'm excited to participate. So I got two, and the first one, I'm maybe going to shock some of the listeners because I'm not going to give you a flood event. And this one really hit like close to home within a mile, I'll say. Right. And I'm trying to remember the year. It was, I want to say it was 2020 or 21. It was right around that the crazy COVID period of time. And so there was a one of the remnants of one of the storms was coming through. And I'm based out of South Jersey. So for our listeners, right? So we're about 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia. And I remember my phone's dinging. I'm at a meeting at my office. And my phone keeps dinging with these alerts. And it's, you know, I knew we were getting thunderstorms, tornado alerts. And then I checked, you know, again, another 20 minutes later, and we're in a, you know, meeting, two of my colleagues and I, and my wife's calling me, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Right. And so I pick up the phone. It's my wife. And she's like, what are you doing? You got to get out of the office. And shame on me for not like really looking at the alerts and knowing like, wow, Tom, you maybe should do something here. Right. I'm just going. And she's like, you got to get out of there. Everybody is hunkering down. They're really serious about this. So I hop in my truck. We're like, we get out of the building, the last three of us, because I guess everybody else was like, well, we're getting alerts. We're going to actually get out of here. And I'm driving home, Hal. And I live about 15 minutes from my house, from my office. There's nobody on the road. And it's like 5:45. Which is unusual. And it, you know, if you've been to Jersey, right? And I know you have, there's people everywhere. And so I'm driving home and I'm like, this sky is looking absolutely insane. I thought I was in the movie Twister. Like, I thought I'm in the movie Twister. I'm driving, nobody's on the road. And I live in an area of like truly the Garden State, farm and rural areas. And so I'm driving and I look at the sky. And I'm like, that's not a normal sky at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
turns out I get home, that was a mile away. I get home, pull in my driveway, and I have a really close friend of mine who works for the local fire department and EMS and so forth. And he goes, where are you? I said, I just pulled in my driveway. He goes, get down in the basement. And we all have basements. Get down in the basement. A tornado just touched down in your town, which, you know,
are you serious?
Harrison. So what I saw, Hal, was the beginning of the funnel for what was an EF3 that went through our Gloucester County area. And I
think
it was 12 or 13 miles this thing caused devastation. And
that's horrific. Yeah.
I got home and it's like, man, the alerts coming through. I'll never forget what that sky looked like. And then literally starting a mile from my house, seeing the strip. I mean, and they flew a drone over the path. Not one person died during that event, which I am just, it was a blessing, amazing, right? But it's the power of these, I mean, we build with basements. They had their kids down there. They were safe. They got the warnings. My family was down in the basement. And so that one really really, really sticks with me.
It sounds like it was forecasted, well communicated, and that people took action. It's another reminder too. We don't think of powerful tornadoes in New Jersey, right? Just like we don't think of snow and ice storms in Alabama or Mississippi, but
that's right.
We have to be prepared for anything anywhere, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's my non-flood, you know, memory, and one that always sticks with me. And then the flood one that really hit home was a story. So after Harvey hit in 2017 in Houston, you know, I spent a lot of time down in Houston, and one of the customers that we worked with, it was a design builder, and he raised this house that he was building in the Meyerland area, which is known, you know, for flooding. And he raised the home, and it had our engineered flood vents, smart vents around the foundation. He floods during Harvey, no damage whatsoever. And so I met a reporter out there, and while I'm there with the builder, he shares with me these pictures of how the house was flooding. And he tells me a story of a slab on grade house across the street, and how the people, talking about evacuation, they didn't evacuate. And by time they were like, wow, we have to get out of here, it was too late. They called the builder up, the family, and said, and he was selling the house at this point, so it had one of those realtor like keypads where you can get the key at. And they said, his name was Tapuma. He said, Mr. Tapuma, we need to get our family in this house to take refuge because we have almost 3 foot of water through our slab on grade, and the water was rising, and they were scared to death. They took kids, and they took pool floats, and they literally floated their kids across to this elevated house and took refuge in the house for, I think it was like a day and a half because the water level was up so high. And they took refuge in the house because their house had 4 foot of water through it, you know, at the peak of Harvey. And to me, seeing those pictures, hearing the story, to know like what a simple solution was, get the house up in the air, you know, properly flood vent the foundation, and we can protect, you know, that family took refuge. And so it was just,
And Tom, that's like life-saving mitigation, right? We think about saving property and saving buildings, but you're bringing up a great point. I mean, lives are saved too when we build properly, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why it starts with our core mission is, you know, resilient communities. And what does that mean? Well, that's keeping families from being displaced, you know, from a home, creating a safe, you know, structure, especially for those flash flood situations where you can't evacuate. Because if the pressure builds up on that foundation so quick and the foundation collapse, well, guess what? The house can come tumbling down, right? And then you have and then on the commercial and critical facility side, I mean, we keep businesses open to help the community recover after a storm event. And you can't shut down a hospital, Hal, especially after, you know, a significant storm event. You can't shut it down, period, but definitely not during that.
That's a good point. I mean, we have critical facilities that have to remain working, right? Hospitals, wastewater treatment, all these things can't shut down. We need to find ways to floodproof them for sure. Tom, let's talk a little bit about your clients. I know you're working all over the country. I mean, how would you categorize your clients? What are some of these different categories of groups and organizations that you work with?
Yeah. So as far as clients go, you know, especially on the new construction front, you know, so there's building codes, there's FEMA regulations, there's the American Society of Civil Engineers, flood resistant design and construction standards that kind of, you know, brings all the codes and information together for a community, and they enforce them. So you build in a special flood hazard area and it's new construction, Hal. Typically, I mean, we are working very closely with the engineers and the architects, right, on that design. Yeah. Ultimately, the end customer ends up being like the general contractor that's actually doing the work. So we work very closely with general contractors across the country, the developers, you know, of those buildings. On the residential side of things, residential, you know, builders, anybody, you know, on the residential side that's a builder, we work closely with them. And then when you look at a retrofit structure, like an existing structure that we're going to retrofit, yeah, we deal with a lot of different folks. I mean, we're dealing with the facility managers of these buildings. We're dealing with the owner, the developer, sometimes a GC that's doing, you know, that whatever type of maintenance or work that needs to be had, down to the residential level where you're dealing with the property owner, you know, the actual homeowner, you know. So that's just it's a multitude of different folks that we deal with. I mean, we get, you know, over 700 incoming calls a week from all of those different groups from all across the country, where they just, and like I said earlier, it's like a puzzle. Each one, we're like, we're on a mission. What's the problem that we're trying to help solve for that particular client? and their site conditions.
Well, that's it. And I know our listeners are going to love this. We have a lot of our listeners are in flood-prone places. They're looking for solutions. They're going to be excited to learn more about your team. Tom, how can people find you? If people say, okay, I want to chat with Tom or anyone on his team, how can people find what you're doing and learn more and reach out to you?
Yeah. So if you go to floodproofing.com, that's our website. Floodproofing.com is, I mean, we're pretty darn proud of how comprehensive it is. You'll find on that website all of the flood vent products that I talked about. You'll find the Smart Vent product line for wet flood proofing. You're going to find all of the dry flood proofing solutions that we have in our portfolio, and that's active and passive for commercial down to residential temporary barriers that you can put in front of your door. So you'll find all that, including all the services that I kind of quickly touched on. So install services, maintenance and deployment services, where we actually physically will come out and train you on the deployment, right, on an annual basis. So there's annual type programs that we have. And then in addition to that, we do have a flood insurance arm to what we do, And so we work with other insurance carriers. We work with other flood insurance agents as well. But we can provide some guidance and insight on how these mitigation products can potentially also reduce your flood insurance premium, which is, it's an added bonus besides the fact that we're protecting that major asset. But floodproofing.com has it all.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed by the website, how comprehensive it is and very easy to navigate. And Tom, I know you're also out there on the ground a lot of times at workshops, conferences. I'm excited you connected me with the New Jersey Association for Floodplain Management 20th annual conference in October in Jersey. I'm going to be there. I can't wait to see you and your colleagues there. Yeah. What are some other events too that you go to or workshops, places that people can interact with you and your team?
Yeah, so and the New Jersey Association of Floodplain Managers is a fantastic event. I mean, it's a premier event in the floodplain management community. I mean, there'll be over 500 folks. How you're going to absolutely crush it there. I'm so excited to see you keynote for the 20th anniversary too, which is such a big deal, And so, but we do all of the state floodplain managers conference. We do as many as we can. There's a lot of them, but we try to participate in those, the local building official state conferences. From a national standpoint, you'll find us at the Association of State Floodplain Managers conference every year. The flood insurance conference where me and you hooked up.
There you go. Yeah.
We do the International Builder Show is another big event that we're at. The National AIA, which is the American Institute of Architectural. So from a designer standpoint, we're at those national and state and local events. We're at a bunch of them. And then we also do, I'll just add, education is a big part of what we do for the industry, and we're very passionate about it. So we provide these professionals that I named before, building officials, architects, engineers, with continuing education units, CEU units. So if anybody's ever interested in having a webinar or a face-to-face, we do we have 7 non-proprietary approved CE courses that we provide on flood protection and floodplain management design and so forth.
Well, it's just so important, Tom, too. I mean, it's everywhere from getting education to understanding your risk to understanding potential solutions. I mean, you and I were talking at a recent conference about how many millions of people, they're really deaf to the message of flood protection because they say, well, I'm not in the floodplain. It's education's where this starts to realize, wait, there are millions of people that flood every year not in floodplains. Oh, well, maybe I really need to think about some of these solutions for my business. So I think it really has to start with education. Right. And then, people realize their risk. Well, what can I do about it? You're giving them then some action items that we can actually do things to get out ahead of these floods.
Absolutely.
To protect ourselves.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Tom, kudos to you and your team. Just so much appreciate for everything you're doing. And I know a lot of our listeners are going to be really excited to check you guys out online to listen to this podcast, but to engage with you as well. I love when we equip people to say, hey, there's things you can do to be better prepared. You don't have to be a sitting duck waiting for a flood to hit. Mm-hmm. And I think with floodproofing.com, they're going to find a lot of potential paths forward to protect themselves. So Tom, thank you so much for taking time to come on the podcast. Again, we're seeing a lot of these floods all over the country. And I know people that are working with y'all that are connected with you and using your products are better prepared and going to at least make it through the flood event a lot better than if they had not taken action. So best of luck to you and your team, and looking forward to seeing you at all these events and interacting in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Hal, this has been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.